Each of the five Buddhas has a wisdom associated with them. And Amitabha's wisdom is the wisdom of uniqueness, or the discriminating wisdom. It's similar to that idea of craving, of always wanting, is my tendency towards comparison. And this is really, really strong for me. I look outside of myself to something over there and compare it to what I have and generally find some lack. I want that, not this. Craving something else can sometimes mean that I don't see the uniqueness of my own experience or of others' experience. It's almost like I desire everything to be on the same plane. But what Amitabha reminds me of is actually there is beauty and uniqueness in each person, each individual snowflake, each quality, each manifestation of enlightenment. The danger of this is that I get into specialness. I love being special. You know, I love being a little bit better, or, you know, one that people are looking at. This is my favorite. Yes, listen to me talk. So that can be the danger of discriminating wisdom, or the wisdom of uniqueness, is that I hear specialness. I hear, let's just celebrate each of our individuality. And my preceptor, the woman who ordained me, a few years ago, she suggested that I maybe consider Ratnasambhava. We met Ratnasambhava in the puja, and some of you who were here last week will have met him in a little bit more detail. Ratnasambhava has the wisdom of sameness. So his is mirror wisdom to Amitabha, whereas Amitabha sees everything as unique, the beauty and uniqueness of each person, of each person's practice, of each person's going for refuge. Ratnasambhava has that wisdom of equality, of sameness, of not getting into comparison, of not stacking up one thing against the other. So she lightly suggested that I might like to consider this wisdom. I was really resistant. I was like, no, Ratnasambhava is the boring Buddha. I want the red, passionate Buddha. But I took on her suggestion and I went on another solitary retreat where I did take on to contemplate Ratnasambhava. So one thing I did was look at his image in this book. And I found that through looking at this image, I started to have stories coming up for me of Ratnasambhava, of who he might have been before he was a Buddha. And I found myself writing an origin story of Ratnasambhava, him living kalpas and kalpas ago, eons and eons ago, and being a thief who stole from a hungry house, who stole dinner from a hungry house. And then when he went back the second night to steal from that house again, the Buddha was waiting for him in front of the fire. And through meeting the Buddha, through looking into the Buddha's eyes, he vowed that he would never again steal, and instead that he would dedicate his life to generosity, to moving through the aeons, to bring abundance to whoever he encountered. And I don't have time to read that whole story today, but I will say that partly through this contemplation of Ratnasambhava, I started to feel that Ratnasambhava and Amitabha were blood brothers. And so I saw this reflection of the two. I wrote this on that retreat. Ratnasambhava and Amitabha are blood Buddhas, blood brothers, mirror Buddhas, a red Buddha in a gold robe, a gold Buddha in a red robe. Discriminating wisdom meets wisdom of sameness. A regal peacock, a royal horse, transmuting greed, transforming pride. Yeah, so it was a bit of a lesson for me about how all of these Buddhas can be connected to each other. Can feed into each other, and they're not necessarily fixed. There is this opportunity to open up to these personal reflections, these personal associations. I've just looked at the time, and we don't have a lot of time left.